You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 281, joined by Randall. Randall, welcome back from your fishing trip. How was that, by the way?
It was great. Actually, the fishing wasn't the best, but it was nice to be out. I like fishing anyways. Like they say, a bad day of fishing is still better than a good day at work. So,
see, I've heard that saying, and we were talking about your fishing trip with some friends, and that statement was made, and I disagree with it. I would rather work than experience a bad day of fishing.
But even on a bad day of fishing, you can be out there talking Notre Dame football or whatever you want to. Well, and no pressure. You got your own time. You don't have to worry about time. You can hang out. There's always new lures to try. And it's a good time.
Well, that's one area where we'll disagree. That's one area where we differ.
Well, I figured you would say that since you thought you might show up eventually, but you never did, so.
Yeah, my criteria, for those of you who don't know, my family, extended family, went fishing in Minnesota, and I stayed back, partly because there was too many people for the amount of fishing boats, and partly because, and in conjunction with that, I work online developing websites. And so if I wasn't going to be able to work to fish, then if I also wasn't going to be able to work effectively, then I didn't want to go, which that would have been the case because the internet in rural Minnesota is not the greatest.
Yeah, it was weird. It wouldn't always pick it up, but then when you did, it seemed to stream fine, but it was just kind of, yeah.
Well, and that's the reason that we've been missing a few of our episodes. The last daily episode or countdown to kickoff episode we did was day number 69 with Logan Plants, and so we will be slowly catching up from that. We'll probably be releasing about two per day until we're caught up with that. So the plan is to catch up and get those done. But here on our regular weekly podcast, we've got I want to talk a little bit about the Michigan Notre Dame rivalry. Continuing, there's some new commits to discuss, some news on Jalen Smith, and then maybe one other news topic or so. So I guess to get started with, Notre Dame-Michigan, they will play again in the near future. The first game will be in 2018 at Notre Dame. The opener on September 1st, and then the following year will be in Ann Arbor in October, end of October. So, personally, I'm glad that it's resuming. I love playing Michigan because I hate Michigan, and so I'm excited to see this rivalry continue. However, I don't know. I don't like it being on the opening game. I hate it, and it's not like Texas, where, of course, when it was scheduled, no one knew where Texas would be. But Texas is not a good program. They weren't last year. They won't be great this year. And Notre Dame will roll through Texas again. However, Michigan is going to be, in my own opinion, a great team in 2018 and 2019, assuming that Harbaugh is still at Michigan. So I am not looking forward to playing Michigan for the opener, and especially the last time Michigan was at Notre Dame, they were destroyed. And that is kindling to the fire. They're going to be pumped up and ready to play more than the Notre Dame guys are going to be.
Well, I don't know how many of the guys I actually have around from that team, and it's a different coach. But it was I think the saddest part about this rivalry resuming is that that was like a perfect ending. And that picture comes up again, a picture of the scoreboard, 37-0. Obviously, the score was taken back down. The last touchdown was taken off. But that's the only bad thing is that we kind of have to move on from that game. Because it won't be the last time we would have played them. But you better get used to opening games like this because that's what Notre Dame has been doing. I mean, obviously Texas was supposed to be good. Now Michigan's going to be opening game. They're going to be playing Georgia the next couple years, opening game. And I even think that the Ohio State, which is still a couple years off, but I almost think that's an opening, season opener.
Yeah.
So it's.
The po okay, I don't like it, but the positive is that no, regardless who wins that game or who regardless who loses, you still have the rest of the season to build up your reputation and get to the playoff. So that is one that is a huge positive.
Yeah. It definitely, from what we've seen in the playoff committee already, it's easy to recover from a loss at the beginning of the year. But it does, a loss does kind of put a dampener on your season, if it's the opening game.
So, Randall, have you heard any fans?
But I don't expect to lose, by the way, so I'll put
Well,
that out there.
as a fan, I expect to lose one. I mean, several of these opening games against these top opponents. It's going to happen.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now, obviously, Michigan's going to be good. I guess the only thing you can plan on that maybe by 2018, Jim Harbaugh has irritated enough of the Michigan staff and players that he would have moved on. But who knows what'll happen with him. But with this whole thing, are you? I expect it to be resumed eventually.
Yes, I did too.
But I'm surprised it's this soon.
Me too. I didn't think it would be this soon.
And I mean, you could. I think the reason they did is because you could potentially still have Brian Kelly versus Jim Harbaugh, and that's kind of what the. I mean, the coaches want to play each other as well, so that's kind of probably the one thing they were pushing for.
You think the coaches played that much of a role in resuming?
Well, I think Brian Kelly's made comments already that they want to that that's a team they want to get back on the schedule. I mean, the players obviously want to play against Michigan. Thing is, there's enough fans around here, Michigan fans here around South Bend, that there's always everybody's making bets on that game. There's always that rivalry there. I mean, shoot, my neighbor across the street is a Michigan fan. His kids make sure that they always walk by and say, "Go Blue," so.
I did see one of the comments on the ESPN article, saying that this rivalry was never interrupted. Even though they didn't play the past few years, the rivalry is still there, and that is true.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Randall,
But
have you heard? Or go ahead.
one thing I was going to mention, in order for Michigan to play Notre Dame, in 2 years, they had to drop home and home with Arkansas. And obviously the Arkansas fans were not too happy about it. But I'm shocked that Arkansas actually had them on the schedule for an opening game of the year. I mean, we're talking about an SEC team actually, scheduling Power Five conference team.
Now, Randall, now to be fair, yeah,
Alabama
Arkansas.
does it. Alabama does it.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say some of them do schedule tough non-conference opening games. Okay, Randall, one other question though. Have you heard any Notre Dame fans be upset or just not excited about playing Michigan again?
No, not personally. I did see some tweets. About some guys that didn't think Notre Dame could gain anything. I know Pete Sampson from Irish Illustrated got into a little discussion with a guy that said that Notre Dame has nothing to gain by playing Michigan. I was like, really? I mean, Pete obviously didn't agree with him, and I don't either. I mean, it's a close. The schools are only a couple hours apart, and even on the recruiting. How many recruits do we see that have Notre Dame and Michigan in their top schools? And when it comes down to, the finalists.
And think about this. The ultimate goal is to win a championship and to first get into the playoff. And playing Michigan is going to add a huge strength of schedule element to your schedule.
True.
But one of my friends said the exact same thing that this does nothing for Notre Dame. We don't need to play them. But I disagree. Notre Dame needs to play a top tough schedule to get into the playoff, and this is a way to do that.
And here's one thing I like. It's one of the top Big Ten teams, the majority of the time, but it's not Ohio State. I would still much rather play Michigan. I'm not at the point that I would want to have Ohio State on the schedule every year. I just hate too much. I just despise Ohio State, and I'd much rather play Michigan, destroy them, have a shutout, and then say, "Hey, we beat the team that, beat Ohio State or whatever."
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, we're both excited to play Michigan again. Okay, let's talk about, before we get to the new commits that Notre Dame received, let's talk about Jalen Smith a little bit. You had mentioned that there's an update on his recovery progress.
Well, they are saying that there is no significant improvement, and like we've heard before, it doesn't sound like he's going to play. They don't think he's going to play this next year.
And
But
Randall, is that no significant improvement? Is that for like the past 2 months or the past 6 months?
I could no the past couple months since the draft. When was the draft? It'd be what, 2 months almost? I mean, they had said, it'd be a slow process, and once it starts, it should go pretty good, but it sounds like it's nothing's really happening yet, which isn't really a good sign for Jalen. But there's no way to tell. It's so hard to tell with those kind of injuries. I'm sure it's a little disheartening for him. You would want to have at least some improvement, but they're saying there's no significant improvement to the nerve.
Well, yeah, hopefully just he keeps on working hard and taking care of the effort on his end. Peyton Manning, it was kind of that same thing where, there'd be updates every few weeks or a month or two, and the update would be that nothing's really changed. But eventually, things do start growing back and our bodies start to heal. All right, let's talk about the new commits that Notre Dame received since you were, or while you were gone, while you were fishing.
Just before I get into that, I want to mention everybody probably heard about Andrew Luck's new contract with the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, up to this point, it's like the biggest contract in the NFL, the most guaranteed money. And I hadn't really thought about it. I don't keep track of baseball. I know they make a lot of money, but somebody had sent a tweet that said Andrew Luck's new contract is worth the most guaranteed money in NFL history, but it's still less than Jess Samardzija got this last offseason. So play baseball.
I know baseball, I know they play a lot more games, but I still am surprised that they make more money. I mean, Jeff Samardzija isn't the top pitcher in baseball, but it still surprises me how much money they make.
Well, I don't think they have the salary caps like the NFL did, or maybe they installed it last couple years, I'm not sure, but I know that's why the Yankees always signed, these top players, I mean, because they could afford to pay everybody. And that's why Oakland A's, could never get one. Somebody got good, they left. And what is that movie, Moneyball, with Brad Pitt, where they kind of talk about some of that stuff.
I should watch it. I mean,
So
because it
it's
was a baseball movie, I never watched it, but maybe
Yeah.
I should watch it.
So in the NFL, I'd say the players are more evenly dispersed. You don't have the Warriors stacked team or, the Heat. I mean, I'd say it's more evenly dispersed than what the other sports are. And it kind of limits, because their salary cap, I think it limits a little bit about how much they make. But
But the NBA also has salary caps.
yeah, true.
Okay, on to re are you ready to move on to recruiting?
Sure. Notre Dame actually got two commits this last week. Both the players were at the opening out in Oregon, and before they committed, there was some talk that none of the guys that were even at the opening were committed to Notre Dame. I mean, a lot of times they'll have, a couple commits that will show up at the opening, that are already committed to Notre Dame. But by the end of the week, that all changed. First one was CJ Holmes, 6 foot 195, and he's a 4-star. He's played multiple positions. He's been recruited at multiple positions. In high school, he plays running back, wide receiver, cornerback, and safety. And he's actually recruited at, I believe, at all those different positions. But Notre Dame is looking at him as a running back and wide receiver, and there are comparisons to CJ Procise and what CJ could do. They can, you know, line him up as a running back. They can line him up as a receiver in the slot. They can do a lot of things with him, and he's a very good athlete. He was sophomore year, he didn't play because he had an injury, and then his junior year, he made a huge impact on the team, but it took a little bit longer for a lot of those big offers to come in because of the injury he had his sophomore year. But very good pickup for Notre Dame. A couple weeks ago, he had visited Notre Dame. His parents had come along. They were able to see Notre Dame. They love it. And actually, a lot of the stories you read and interviews you see are actually with his dad. The media has had quite a bit of access to his dad, and he's been very willing to talk about Notre Dame and where his son's going. They're very, very excited, and they love the academics. The interesting thing is he is a teammate with Tariq Black, the wide receiver that Notre Dame has been recruiting. And it seems, in my opinion, he was one of the guys. I talked with his parents when they were out here for junior day in March, and they're all decked out in their Notre Dame gear, and they obviously love it as well, and it's just going to help even more with the teammate being committed to Notre Dame now. So it'll be fun to see what happens with Tariq Black's commitment.
You're saying when Black and his parents were out here, they were decked out in Notre Dame gear?
Yeah, yeah, and they were very excited about Notre Dame. And it seems like some other schools, you know, he is interested in some other schools as well, more than I had originally thought. But, I mean, I think Notre Dame still has a good chance at landing him with C.J. Holmes now. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. C.J. Holmes' video, did you watch his commitment video out on the boat?
I did, and I loved it. I probably always say, oh, this one is just awesome, and you got to watch it. But the thing is, a lot of them are pretty unique. SB Nation, yeah, it is SB Nation that did the video, right?
No, Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report, yeah, does a great job with those commitment videos, and yeah, it was fun, it was cool, kept you guessing, it was funny. I loved it.
The thing I liked the most is to watch him reel in the Alabama helmet and then throw it back in the water.
Yeah.
He did the same thing with the Tennessee shirt. The one thing I noticed in the video, he's obviously not a fisherman, because on the first, when we reel in the Alabama helmet, he was holding the reel the right way. Then the next two, when he reeled in the Tennessee shirt and the leprechaun, he was holding the rod or reel upside down and was cranking backwards. So, he's obviously not a fisherman.
I didn't notice that.
It's a bait cast, and the first one was like a spinning reel and like an open spinning reel.
Okay.
And he held it away, and he tried to hold the bait cast the same way, and he had to reel backwards because it's obviously upside down. So
that's something the production team at Bleacher Report should have noticed.
I know, but hey, he was too excited. I don't think they really cared. But
I guess if I'd be reeling in a scholarship to play, you know, Division I football, I'd probably be pretty excited and probably wouldn't notice which way the rod's dangling.
True. I'm sure they had a lot of fun making the video. Then the second commit Notre Dame got was from Robert Hainsey. He was actually had been a silent commit to Notre Dame already. He had committed around Irish Invasion, and he had wanted to wait until his bowl game. I'm trying to think which bowl game it is now, the Army or the Under Armour. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look. But he wanted to wait, which would be around New Year's. But since he had decided to commit then, he didn't want to wait any longer, and he committed on ESPN Sunday night. And he's a four-star offensive lineman, 6'5", 225. He is from Pennsylvania, the Pittsburgh area, which Notre Dame is doing a very good job recruiting that area. That is the fourth recruit from the Pittsburgh area. in the 2017 class, and they also have one in the 2018. So right now, Notre Dame has five verbals from players that are from the Pittsburgh area. The only difference with Hainsey is that he played at IMG Academy down in Florida last year, and he's planning to play his senior year there as well. Last year, he played at left tackle for IMG. I'm guessing that's where he'll be this next year. But at the opening, he played all three positions. He's playing tackle, guard, and center. He can do all three, but he'll probably be more of a guard at college. But it's nice to have a player like that that I like to know that he can play center as well.
And you, early on in Heath-Stan's offensive line, you do see guys switch around quite a bit, even from guard to tackle and maybe guard to center. So, yeah, that is important to for him to get his feet wet at those different positions.
Yeah, and he had visited Notre Dame twice already, so he knows what Notre Dame's all about. Now, the other thing I like about this at IMG, he is teammates with Josh Kando, the defensive end that is committed to Maryland. That's kind of a weird recruitment. That he is from Maryland, and you know, it seemed like I don't even think Maryland was on his list when he committed, like in his top list. And he ended up committing there because his dad wanted him to go there. But they talked. You know, Josh Kando says that he could very likely still take another visit to Notre Dame, and there's a lot of interest there. So I honestly think Kando will end up somewhere else besides Maryland once it's all said and done. But they are teammates, and maybe Hainsey can work on him this next year. Obviously, Notre Dame's doing a good job at IMG last year. Was it Tony Jones Jr. and Spencer Perry were both from there? And so maybe they can continue this and get something started there at IMG.
Sounds good.
And I'll just mention, Notre Dame now has three offensive linemen in the 2017 class, and they are still going after two other guys that have Notre Dame in their top list. Well, Trey Smith is obviously one of the top offensive linemen in this class, if not the top guy. Five-star, and he released his top six this past weekend. Notre Dame is included in the top six. And then you have a five-star Foster Sorrell. He had visited Notre Dame, and he is planning to take – so far he's scheduled three official visits, and one of them is supposed to be Notre Dame. So Notre Dame is definitely in the mix with those two guys. And, hey, you can never complain about taking another five-star, adding a five-star.
Yeah.
They already have a great offensive line class, and Harry Heastain just continues to do his thing.
Randall, is there any update from the St. Brown brothers?
No, I haven't heard anything lately.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the recruiting aspect?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will get back and catch up with our countdown to kickoff episodes. We will be behind for probably about a week, week and a half. So bear with us there. Randall, you started to say something?
Yeah, I'll make sure, since I do this all the time, I'll make sure to interrupt you right before we end. I was just going to mention Nico Fertitta's dad, Lorenzo. I was sold the UFC this morning. They made it official. And let's just say Nico doesn't have to worry about money the rest of his life. He could play football for nothing. I've been a UFC fan for a long time. The Fertitta brothers bought the UFC about 15 years ago for $2 million. And this morning they sold it for $4 billion. And they made plenty of money in those 15 years, so... I'd say that was a very good investment.
Yes, definitely. Wow, that's amazing.
So I'm sure, hey, maybe since he sold it, and I think he does, Lorenzo does still have some shares in the company, but maybe since he isn't the CEO, who has some more time to come out to the Notre Dame games, him and Dana White were there in at least one of the games last year. And yeah, maybe we'll get a chance to see them around Notre Dame.
Sounds good. All right, thank you guys for listening. If you have topics to discuss or questions for the podcast, tweet at us at Irish Sports Talk or send us an email, mail@irishsportstalk.net. So until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.